Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
I'm recording here.
All right, recording here.
All right, this will be for show 102. Excuse me. In 3, 2, it is the ATS Mix Show number 102. I'm Johnny Anonymous.
And I'm his partner, Dave Rabbit. What's happening this evening, Johninator?
Well, I've been suffering here for about the past week or so with some of the wildest bad connections with the internet, and so I thought perhaps my modem was about ready to go out, and sure enough, I think it did. Went down, bought a new cable modem, was on Comcast customer support for God knows how long, at least 3 or 4 hours, trying to get them to transfer what they call the MAC address of the modem to be recognized by their system, and I've been having intermittent internet connections, so like I get it for 5 minutes and then it dies for 2 hours, and so who knows, even this intro may go south here very soon.
Most of our intros do, so it'll just be normal, right?
It'll be a whole new intro problem ball game for us. How was it on your end when you were talking to me, Dave?
Well, I don't really want to spoil the surprise for everybody that's going to listen to the show, but let's put it this way. I can't remember the last time that John's ever been put in a position to where he has total frustration and wants to beat the crap out of Bill and I.
It wasn't you guys I wanted to beat the crap out of.
I know, but I mean, still, we're in our comfort level. We're on Skype. We're on our own little professional equipment, and you're having to talk through your telephone occasionally because we keep getting cut off.
So anyway, when they hear that segment, you're gonna hear. In fact, you know what? I'm thinking seriously of leaving some of those edit points in where.
Well, I think you should.
Yeah, where they suddenly Johnny's not there anymore.
Yeah, well, of course, it'll be a lot of people say that Johnny's not there a lot of times. Thank you. I'll be here all night.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. What people don't really understand, John, and we've said it before, but I mean, I think you should leave some of those things in there because really, they don't know how difficult it is, even with modern technology, to have everything work right for everybody that's participating in the process. And man, have we had problems over 102 shows, and this is a perfect example of some of the things we go through.
Oh, I guess we lost Johnny again, I'm assuming.
Well, it'll be a surprise. I don't think there's anything you have to bleep, though. But, you know, Bill may have said something, but who knows. Anyway, in addition to that, we are very pleased to bring to you this particular lecturer that was at the Bay Area UFO Expo that Johnny and I attended with the Springinator in 2008.
As we continue on with the lecture series that we're kind of featuring.
Mr. David Icke from the United Kingdom. And other than that, John, I mean, what else do we have on the show? I can't remember.
That is pretty much it.
So I guess all the intro banter we can throw at you. And I hope everybody enjoys the show and David Icke and the Skeptic Overlord and the UFO sightings.
That'll work.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From AboveTopSecret.com.
Oh, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings
from around the world.
This is Tamriel from Godbox Cafe with sightings from across Canada. At 10:19 p.m. in London, Ontario, two witnesses looked skyward to the east and saw two light blue balls flying in formation from south to north. The objects were described as brighter than stars, and halfway through the sighting, the ball on top zipped to the west 90 degrees at incredible speed for about 2 seconds. And then resumed the original formation. Still heading south, they disappeared in the blink of an eye. The whole sighting took place over 10 to 15 seconds. As the witness lives in proximity to an airport, a minute after the sighting, a plane flew the same general direction as the balls and took 1 whole minute to traverse the same distance. So it was clear these objects traveled at remarkable speed. Next morning, the witness called the Physics Astronomy Department at the University of Western Ontario and left a message there. The next night, in North Bay, Ontario, at 8:40 p.m., a witness and daughter who had just parked in the driveway noticed a white solid ball of light moving from west to east. They followed its silent trajectory at about the same speed as an airliner for about 30 seconds, at which point they were amazed to see it completely vanish. That same night, an hour earlier, at the Scarborough Bluffs, east of Toronto, Ontario, a witness and a friend were walking a dog and looked up in the sky to see a plane overhead, leaving a very long trail behind it. A few minutes later, looking up again, they spotted an extremely bright light travel northward on a path right through the plane's trail and disappear without a trace. This is Tamriel from Godbox Cafe, keeping my eyes to the skies for AboveTopSecret.com.
These are the reported sightings over the United States. This is David C. In Indiana, an observer stated, "Just shortly after we passed the overpass, I noticed a glimmer out the corner of my eye. This would be out the driver's side window, about 2,000 feet away or so. It was obvious, the orange of the sun on the bottom and the reflection of the clouds and blue sky on the top. I immediately turned back to my friend and screamed, 'It's a real UFO! It's a real UFO! Oh my God, look! Look!' I continued to glance over to the object and back at the road. In between glances, it disappeared. I looked to my friend and I said, 'Where did it go? It's gone.' She then said, 'No, it's above us.' I then moved forward, then to the side, looking out the windshield and driver's side window. Then I said, 'I can't see it.' Right at that moment, it pulled slightly ahead of us. I could see the nose of the thing, and the sides of it stuck out about 1.5 feet on the other side of the Camaro. The nose was shaped to what reminded me of a dolphin's nose. I did not feel threatened in any way and was amazingly calm. I tried slightly swerving to the left and then to the right, and it stayed perfectly positioned above us with a 1 second delay. I sped up and slowed down, and it did the same thing with a slight delay. I looked up out the window and could see my reflection on the bottom of it. It was perfect, like chrome, but better. It had no wings, seams, visible propulsion, windows, lights, or antennas. It didn't even have a place for a door. It was about 4 to 4.5 feet from the top of the car. It made no sounds, not even air rumbling or any other kind. It did not interfere with the radio or the engine. We had no missing time. It flew above us for about 15 minutes. When we got to the curve going left in the road, it broke away from us and kept flying. Then it went up and over the trees. When it did this, it was so incredibly graceful. It was almost as if it was on an invisible track, like when a roller coaster goes over a hill. When I saw this, I knew immediately that it was not from Earth. Honestly, this vessel was about 15 to 20 feet long and about 10 to 12 feet at its widest point. It was shaped sort of like a Nerf football. It looked strikingly like the alien spacecraft on Disney's Flight of the Navigator, only it didn't have the humps. It was smooth all the way around. The nose was different, and it was perfectly reflective." This is David C. reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Skeptic Overview Show with our CEO and head amigo, Bill Irvin, a.k.a. the Skeptic Overlord. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hey there. I'm doing well.
Well, good. Well, on the line, on the landline somewhere in Istanbul, Turkey, is my co-host, the Johninator, a.k.a. Johnny Anonymous. Johnny, are you there?
Hello.
How's it in Istanbul, bro?
It's great, except I just learned that I'm flying without an internet.
Yeah, well, anyway, if anybody wants to know why Johnny sounds weird, no, it's not because it's a normal show, but it's because Johnny is flying without Skype, and he's flying without his computer, basically, because he's been having some modem problems. So we're going to, as Bill says, soldier on.
You know, I sent you guys an email with the hot threads of like the past couple of weeks, and you know, I was looking at them, and I don't know if we really, especially given Johnny's, you know, let's have a little pity on Johnny.
Okay,
his
good
condition over there. He may not have these notes handy, and really, they all fall into three categories of topics. We have first the election. There's lots of crap going on. A lot of hot threads about the election, and then and the debates. So we can talk about that. And, of course, the financial meltdown Everything that happened along that, and the socialist.
I have a prediction.
Yeah, right.
I have a prediction.
Yes, let's hear it, John.
I have a prediction about the economy. I believe there's going to be a huge pullback in the stock market.
Really?
Clairvoyance. I love that. He's very clairvoyant, Bill. You just don't know. See?
Well, see, he hasn't had internet for 2 weeks. So
You mean I'm right?
Yeah, John. All those predictions came true, bro.
And then the other big topic was the Galactic Federation of Light.
Yeah, yeah. And we touched on that lightly, but why don't you tell everybody really how impactful it was?
Before I get to that, I want to talk about how busy you guys have been lately. I mean, you went out to the big UFO show.
Yeah.
Was that a lot of fun?
Oh, I'm telling you, we had more fun because of the way that we did it. Had more people come up to us that recognized us this year. You know, remember last year we were kind of, you know, had been on for not very long. Right. And, I mean, we had more people that knew who AboveTopSecret.com was, had heard ATS Mix. It was the most fun I have had since being at AboveTopSecret.com. It was just unbelievable.
Better you than me, because you know how, you know, I've had some bad experiences with the, shall we say, UFO people.
Say it isn't so.
Yeah, right? You know, can you imagine? Were any of the people at the show talking up this potential Galactic Federation of Light appearance?
I didn't hear it, John. Did you?
No, I certainly didn't.
So it really was a phenomenon outside of the normal circle of UFO people.
Yeah.
That's one of the questions I wanted to ask about that. So that's interesting. That sheds a little more light on it. So this more, I had always thought that was much more a, you know, the UFO people are sort of divided into two camps, or one camp is mainly made up, rather, of people who are more scientific, more hoping that we encounter extraterrestrials for the pure groundbreaking, you know, ultimate encounter that will be. And on the other side is a more spiritual, more paranormal aspect of the UFO crowd. And that's definitely where these Good Child Federation of Light, or whatever you want to call it, came from. So that's an interesting observation that you heard nothing of that.
No, not even.
One of the biggest UFO shows of the year.
Yeah, not a peep. I mean, and we talked to a lot of people.
All the people in my little inner circle would have just rolled their eyes if I would have mentioned something like that. So I don't think any. I think you're right on the nail when you say that it is made up of two separate camps.
Right, right. Now, well, here's a very important question then. What did George Knapp order for dinner?
I'll tell you exactly what he had for dinner. He had the steak.
There we go. Okay, all right. He's one of us.
He was a meat and potatoes guy.
Awesome. Yes. Anyway, the other thing that's happened since we last talked is you had your 100th show.
Yeah, boy, what a
fun show that was.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I tell you what's really funny is I have had more people say, "Well, I've never listened to any ATS Mix shows." And that was the first one we listened to. And they said, "Oh, now we're going to start going back in the archives." So that was great. Now, I had one guy that makes a post on the show thread for 100 and goes, "I can't believe the amigos, you know, think this is informative, you know." And he had never heard one before. So he thought our show 100, which was absolutely nothing but outtakes and things that never got into a regular show, he thought that was a regular show. So I YouTube'd him. He's fine now. He understands that was just a outtake show, so he's okay. So now we've got all percentages now are on board with us.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. And I, you know, I didn't chime in with congrats because I wanted that to all be from members, and I wanted to do it live. And, you know, I just wanted you guys to know for certain that there's a lot of things that have happened over the years with ATS, a lot of stuff I'm really proud of. And I got to tell you, ATS Mix is at the top of the list of the things that I am just drop-dead proud of over how well it's turned out and how well it represents the ATS brand and how we want it to be perceived by people as they discover us. It's just been a fantastic job and an incredible ride to be involved with you guys as you continue to do this.
Wow. And we didn't even have to pay you to say that. That's great.
Right. And the one thing that we wanted this podcast, and hopefully as we keep working hard at making it much more than a podcast, as a real daily live show somewhere, is that unique blend of comedy and information. You know, and the best description, and I gave this description to a radio guy not long ago when we were trying to get you guys on air, which we're still doing. And he immediately got it, and I gave him this description after he had heard the demo, and he said, bang, that's it. Is if you think of the topics of Coast to Coast with the contemporary humor of The Daily Show, that's ATS Mix. It makes these interesting topics so much more listenable, right, to just inject a little bit of humor so that it's not a bunch of guys who are always serious about serious topics. But, right, I mean, an hour and a half of just seriousness on serious topics can get a little tiresome to listen to. And so that's why I think the show is just something really fresh in this genre. And it's going places, I assure you.
Wow. You know, and that really makes me feel good, Bill. And I'm sure it does John, too. Hello, John.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, very good. He's online now, okay.
Oh, computer.
I'm going to hang up my phone now.
Okay, yeah, I just disconnected your phone, John, so whatever right, that's worth to you.
Boy, it sure is glad to be able to hear you guys and not in the distance as the telephone makes.
Well, did you get anything that Bill said about the accolades he was laying on us or not?
Yeah, what I said, basically, if it wasn't for Dave Rabbit, this show would be going places.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Thanks, Bill. You know, oh yeah, I can see the U2U's now. Oh, Bill agrees with everybody. Yeah, that's three guys.
Speaking of great threads, I don't want to necessarily run down the list because I think we can just talk about the three big topics that defined the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'm calling John now on his phone. He sent me a little note and said he's having problems. So we're going to hear a little phone ringing here now as we're trying to connect to John's home again to see if we gave it. He's going to be frustrated.
Hi.
Johnny?
Yeah.
Repeat.
Wow, this is getting to be such a wonderful, wonderful segment here, and I want to apologize to everybody. I got to hear about a minute and a half of everybody talking.
Well, good. Well, we're not gonna go back over everything that we said that you didn't hear, John.
I certainly hope not.
Well, you can hear it in post production anyway.
Yes, I can.
All right, so here we go, Bill. So where were you taking us before Johnny politely interrupted us?
Yeah, right. So well, let's not go down the list of threads because I could read the list of threads that got all of them got more than 500 replies.
Yeah,
we had a lot of really hot threads over the past couple of weeks. And they fall into three categories. I think we can just talk in general about what's happening on ATS in those three categories.
All right, great.
And the first one we can talk about just in generalities, just our take on where the election is. Reading through some of the top threads and some of the activity on the political boards, it's still, I mean, I still see a pretty much equally divided membership. We have a lot of people who are for McCain, a lot of people who are for Obama, and almost an equal number, given who we are, of course, a conspiracy
right,
website.
Exactly.
That are fed up with the entire system and don't like either candidate. So while the rest of the country is almost divided down the middle, we seem to be divided into thirds as far as
exactly right, groups,
which is pretty interesting to follow. And, who's that? I heard a shook. Did we lose somebody?
I don't think so. John, are you there? Hello, John. Damn. Bill, you still there, right?
I'm still here.
How the hell did we lose him on the home phone? I think he's having problems. You know, he's been having a lot of problems since he came back from Gilliland Ranch, which is kind of weird.
Hello!
How many damn times are you going to hang up on us, John?
This time I didn't do it. I heard the last thing I heard out of Bill was talking about that people were still going for McCain, people still going for Obama, and then all of a sudden, click.
Okay, good.
Well, they hung up on me.
Well, good. No, we didn't hang up on you. Okay, Bill. So back to what you were saying for the third time, John.
Sorry. Hey, guys, it's out of my hands. Powers that be don't want me to talk to you guys.
Yeah, I know. It takes two hands to handle a whopper. Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Should I pick it up at the top or just
just roll with it, babe. We're gonna fill this up and just show sometimes how chaotic it is just to do a show.
Yeah, so as I was saying, you know, the political flavors are divided into thirds on ATS, but I hate to single out one group. And it seems like this group is always this way. And I wanted to get your guys' opinion on it. Does it feel to you like this election and elections before it and in the political banter in between elections, the Republicans, or the conservatives, I should say, are generally a more nasty group than the liberals.
John, I'll let you go first.
I have kind of noticed that this whole election process this year has seemed to be a lot nastier, per se, than ones that I've seen in the past.
Exactly.
As to why that is, I don't know. Definitely, this year's election has been full of fire and finger-pointing and all sorts of good stuff to help erode away this thing we call America.
Yeah, right. Mr. Rabbit, what do you think?
I think that McCain doesn't have a Chinaman's chance in hell. And I want to tell you why I don't think he is going to even get close to what I predict is going to be a semi-landslide, not like a Ronald Reagan landslide or something like that, but I mean a semi-landslide. And the reason is the way McCain comes across perception-wise when he is in front of a camera. McCain comes across, and this gets back to what you said, Bill, he comes across as agitated, adversarial, angry. It's almost like if this was the Ultimate Fighting Championship, I could see McCain coming across the table and beating the crap out of Obama. I mean, that's how he comes across, perception-wise, to me anyway, on the TV screen, where Obama comes across as being very controlled, not being overly emotional, even when he is slammed by McCain on the screen. And I think the Republican Party in general is in a self-destruct mode. And I don't know why. I can't figure it out. I hadn't been able to put my finger on it.
Well, they're in a win-at-all-cost mode. And what's happening is the Internet is getting in the way of the typical tactics that worked for Rove years ago.
Right.
The Internet has become has leveled the playing field in many ways. But and when I said nastiness, you know, I was referring more to the rhetoric we see coming from the official or semi-official sources, like spokespersons for campaigns or people that have some official affiliation to the GOP or the Democrats. But one of the things that worries me, which is just about to come out, and I've seen some preliminary information on it, I think it's going to be in the next Rolling Stones, if not in the one that just hit shelves, is an investigative report by Greg Palast. Are you familiar with him?
I've heard the name. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, we should probably try to get him on ATS Mix. He's done an investigation for almost 2 years, in part of it in concert with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he has basically come out with the statement that if the Democrats are to win the 2008 election, they must not simply beat McCain at the polls. They must beat him by a margin that exceeds the level of GOP vote tampering. And what they've uncovered is just an incredible amount of up till now unreported voter purging going on throughout the country in swing states, essentially.
Right.
One great example is this guy who is in Las Vegas, or is it New Mexico? Anyway, I don't have the details in front of me. I was reading about it earlier. He was a victim of previously unreported purge of voters in New Mexico, and he was one of the Palast is predicting, as many as 1 in 9 Democrats have been purged from the rolls in New Mexico. And what's interesting about this guy, Paul, I forget his last name, in the fact that he was purged, he is the elections supervisor for his county, and he was purged from the rolls. And there's lots of examples that I was reading about this. As we were getting ready, I was trying to find, even going back into my browser history to find the summary of this. But in every swing state, and we've seen in California somebody arrested for vote fraud, working to convert Democrats to Republicans without their in a sneaky way by making them think they were actually signing a petition. So we're seeing that all over the place. So it's going to be interesting as we see the numbers come in. Yes, I think in the polls that we're seeing, Obama is definitely winning the opinion polls. He definitely came across as a more rational person, if not more, exactly. Right. more qualified to be president. That's still up in the air, I think.
Right.
But he definitely came across as the better choice of a person to be in charge of a difficult situation. We talked about one depressing thing. Let's get to something a little more lighthearted.
With 9/11?
With Blossom Goodchild and the Galactic Federation of Light and how the 14th, it was a little on the, you know, it wasn't just the 14th. Wasn't the, like, the 6th or the 7th potentially also supposed to be the end of the world?
Right, something like
some
that.
Some predictions. Right. And then the 14th was going to be when the Galactic Federation of Light, big light motherships, yep, show up to, right, give us their message of peace and hope. Well, here we are, and none of that happened. And now I guess maybe this is the 24th, or, you know, it's just gone crazy.
Right.
That was 2 months in building. It's just sort of like a brilliant viral marketing campaign for her books is basically how it ended up looking to be, not much more than that.
Right.
And you guys heard none of it.
Yeah, no. I mean, we're being redundant, but you know, you would think that if there was any validity or belief system in the community that, you know, someone would have heard something or would have said something. And it's like all of a sudden it was in its own specific world, and, you know, it never went anything beyond that.
The thing that, I mean, this isn't the first time something like this has happened on the internet, and it's always been picked up in one way or another on ATS, where somebody, whether it's Blossom Goodchild or a long list of people, Prophet Yahweh and so on,
right,
that have claimed to have had some type of connection with the aliens that are out there, whether it's through channeling or something else, well, why'd they pick this lunatic to channel this message through? Or why this person? Or why even care at all? I mean, potentially here are these spacefaring beings that have the entire galaxy open to them to explore, and, you know, they're taking time off to send a message to Blossom Goodchild in Australia that they're coming specifically on October 14th, and that was just it just never ceases to amaze me.
Yes, why didn't they contact, like, Dr. Michio Kaku or something like that, you know?
Right.
Right, or you, Dave. I mean, geez, who wouldn't have believed
you? Well, I know why they didn't contact Dave.
Don't go there.
Well, it didn't happen, so I'm sorry, I guess, because all of you people didn't believe.
Right.
That's why they didn't show up.
Well, speaking of lighter things, the last several weeks, you have been masterfully working behind the scenes, doing your thing, and creating a new landscape, if you will, for people that first come to AboveTopSecret.com and want to check out and see what our home is about. Why don't you tell people a little bit about what you're trying to achieve and what they can expect in the future, maybe?
Well, yeah, that's been a work in progress for, 6 years running, maybe,
right,
more, in trying to give people who encounter us for the first time a taste of what we're about. Because if you go to a lot of the really popular discussion boards out there, you usually land on, you know, an index page, which is just a list of the forums.
Exactly.
And okay, if you're familiar with forums, you sort of have a sense of where to look and where to pick up on topics. But if you're not familiar with forums, it's gibberish. And it's really difficult to dig in and see what are the popular topics or even essentially what the place is about. And for about 4 years now, that's what's been the difficult balancing act on how to deliver a homepage, a main site homepage that is relevant to our regular users as well as people who are encountering us for the first time.
Right.
And it's been a tough process, and then combine that with the ever evolving design aesthetics that are on the internet and the sensibilities that people become used to in browsing other user-generated sites like YouTube and Dig and Slashdot and so on, which also create sort of an expectation of what people want to see on a homepage to right. define the content on a given site. So you mix it all together, and it's an ever-evolving process. And I think we've found what is a good mix right now. We still haven't transcended the design into the discussion board area, but right. for the top tier of pages that deliver what ATS is about, I think we have a new mix that looks contemporary without right. losing our dark heritage, I guess,
right.
which has always defined ATS. And so far, it seems to be doing very well. We have an increased number of people that are clicking through to content as they hit the homepage. And over the years, I should say, too, the one thing that has driven the need to do this is over the past year, as our traffic continues to grow, so does the percentage of visitors that hit the homepage as opposed to hitting a content page first.
Right.
We get about 40,000 people a day landing on that homepage. About half of them are hitting the homepage of new visitors, rather. About half of those are hitting the homepage first. Another half are coming to the homepage after they see a thread, and then they hit the site home button to see what the homepage is about. I should add, too, that once the staff had some input on the new design, we did also toss it out to members. And some of the design changes in the evolution of the new design were as the result of input from members as well. So it right. wasn't just us folks at the top of the gene pool that had the input.
But yeah,
the other thing,
yeah,
too,
right.
that's always where we have a huge difference in how things work on
exactly.
our homepage.
Right.
Primarily because I don't want to have to deal with it every day, is in the flagging our members do, the prominence of topics on that homepage is a direct result of how our members interact with the topics on the discussion board. And it has, you know, it has the potential of being updated and changed every half hour. So that is a living, breathing homepage that changes as our members respond to topics on the discussion boards, which is also very important in how that homepage looks. It is a pure reflection of what's happening on ATS at that moment in time.
I can't be any prouder, Bill, really, of everything that you guys, the vision that you guys had years ago and where it is today. I just can't be any prouder of everything that you guys have accomplished.
I feel a tremendous sense of pride as well, and it's not through... I mean, yeah, I feel some personal sense of accomplishment, but it's much more of a we did this together sense of pride, and that's what makes it really special.
John, you got anything you'd like to add?
Hello! No, you pretty much said it probably for everybody. The only thing I would add is that I understand exactly what it is, the process that you have to go through. So, yes, I completely respect what you do. And a website as big as ATS is, I think it's wonderful that you continue to ask not just the staff members, but also the guests and the members, what would you like to see be added, or what do we need to maybe get rid of to keep the website running smoothly? So yes, I think you're continually doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. And you know, you said a site as big as ATS, and this may have gotten lost in the sauce in some of the posts, and I don't know if you guys noticed it, but as we grew over the past 3 weeks and watching where our Quantcast ranking sits, we have surpassed one of the more popular sites on the internet for user-generated discussion, Slashdot.
Right.
We now get more traffic than Slashdot, and it used to be a point not that long ago where we were excited about if an article or a thread of ours was discussed on Slashdot, because that would bring us traffic.
Right.
And now we've rocketed past them and are catching up to some pretty interesting sites. One of the sites, I was just looking at the numbers, where is it here?
2424 is where we are right now in the Quantcast.
Yeah, and we are above some pretty interesting sites that you would think get much more traffic than us, like CBSSports.com.
Right.
The shopping or the main shopping and information and catalog website for Pier 1.
Yeah. BBC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for people that don't know, Quantcast, isn't it a ranking of every U.S. Website, now United States only website that there is, Bill?
No, it's a ranking of every site that gets traffic from U.S. visitors.
Oh, okay. All right, then my next question is, could you maybe tell us how many thousands of websites we're talking about, just ballpark?
We are ranked 24
out of
over 10 million websites.
I didn't realize it was they that have much.
Well, they're actually ranking more than 10 million, but those are the sites where they that Quantcast has the verifiable data.
All right.
So as we compare ourselves to other sites, out of the most popular 10 million sites out there that gets traffic from U.S. sources, we are 24.
Doesn't that put us like in the top 1%?
Oh, that's
easily.
You're going to make me do some math here now, aren't you? No, that puts us in the top 0.02%.
My Lord. Well, I don't know how we could end the Skeptic Overview show on a better note than knowing that everybody that's a member of AboveTopSecret.com, the people that are lurkers on AboveTopSecret.com, and the people that come in and sign in anonymously, and Johnny will tell you that's his favorite last name. I am just totally, totally blown away by the fact that we're all part of something that we verbally started talking about on the 5th of November about the revolution.
We just started. We're just warming up, kids.
Yeah, it's exciting. Well, on that note, I guess that's all we've got for this edition of the Skeptic Overview. So until next time, Bill will be Bill, Johnny will be Johnny, and I will be I.
Hello!
Let's do that for Cracker. He loves that little when you roll over. Hello! 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 Hello!
Hello!
Hello!
And I guess now would be the appropriate time for us to say goodbye!
Goodbye! Goodbye! Goodbye. All right, Bill. Thanks a lot, brother.
All right, kids.
All right, see you.
He does what others dare not do. He stands where nobody has stood before. He dares to take the chance to be right or wrong. Others want to cover it up in some book after 3 or 4 researchers check the material. That's not David Icke. What you will see today is this man unleashed. We have just taken off the jacket. The straight jacket is off. Some people may call him mad, but I don't think so. There's a question that I have about that Masonic goat, you know, with the breasts of Venus and King Kong's penis, you know, the one. I would like to find out if that's Uncle Sam. Because he'd say, I want you. And they do. We have just faced the Armageddon financially. We're becoming a Zimbabwe, where it's 6.5 billion Zimbabwe dollars to one. But our dollar will not be worth a dime. And David Icke puts it all together. We're on an album, The Illuminati, Volume 1 and 2. We're doing a movie called Kings of Conspiracy. And he is a king in his own time. We're not talking about the queen, you know, the woman who gets, she's live frogs or whatever, I don't know. She slithers around and has got, you know, some sort of skin. I'm not much for the queen. But then we have a lot of queens up here in San Francisco. Would you please all stand with me and bring on David Icke. David. Thank you for that. But I'm just someone who's doing what I believe to be right. I ain't up there. I'm not up there. We've spent our lives and generations looking up to people up there and thinking that we somehow are lesser than them, insignificant compared with them. And we're all one consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. Therefore, we are all one consciousness equally having an experience which may be different, but it doesn't make it more or less special than someone else having a different experience. So, this is not a time, not a day for looking up at anybody, but looking the world and everybody else in the eye, because then the world changes, because the major problem with the human race being enslaved, and it has been for so long, is it's got this vertebrae in the neck that absolutely desperately has to do that. And those days are over as we start to understand the true nature of who we are. I'm going to be talking for a long bloody time in the next 2 days. Sorry. You know, I've had the hands-on healing and I've had the crystals therapy and I've still got verbal diarrhea. I can't shift it. This is the theme of it in all its many and various expressions in the next 2 days, particularly tomorrow, is a big long session. Free your mind. Because it has been the case for as long as human history has recorded it, that humans have given their minds away to others and allowed it to be impregnated and programmed with false identities which have held it in a prison. A physical prison on one level, but that's just an expression of the real prison, which is a prison of the mind. So what I'm doing today is I'm not really talking about conspiracy so much, except here and there. I'm talking about, first of all, who we are, where we are, and the nature of reality itself. Because then when I get into the, if you like, daily experience and five sense level of this from tomorrow, when I get into that tomorrow, it will be more easy to understand why certain things are done in society once we get an appreciation for what reality is. Now this guy, Wilhelm Reich, said, "Am I a spaceman? Do I belong to a new race on Earth bred by men from outer space in embraces with Earth women? I request my right and privilege to have such thoughts and ask such questions without being threatened to be jailed by any administrative agency of society. In the face of a rigid, doctrinaire, self-appointed, ready-to-kill hierarchy of scientific censorship, it appears foolish to publish such thoughts. Anyone malignant enough could do anything with them. Still, the right to be wrong has to be maintained. We should not fear to enter a forest because there are wildcats around the trees. We should not yield our right to well-controlled speculation. It is certain questions entailed in such speculation which administrators of established knowledge fear. But in entering the cosmic age, we should certainly insist on the right to ask new, even silly questions without being molested. And we have a choice to take that or through fear to run away from that. And I hear and I see and I do understand. There's a lot of old big brothers coming, big brother and all this stuff. Well, this is my attitude to big brother. That's my attitude to big brother. Because Big Brother controls people who are unaware of the true magnitude and genius and infinity that we are. It does not entrap and control those who begin to understand the true magnitude of who we are.
And to do that, we need to free our minds. And that's what this whole 2 days is about in its many, many expressions. An error does not become truth by reason of multiplied propagation, nor does truth become error because no one will see it. Mahatma Gandhi. So often, in fact, invariably, people reject information because it is simply so different from that which they have been programmed to believe that they can't make the leap. And I understand that, and I'm not asking anyone here to believe anything I say, because it's none of my business what people make of what I put out. It's my business to put it out. And if anyone stands on a stage and says, okay, you must believe what I'm saying because I've got all the answers, then we're just dealing with just another in the endless tidal wave of people throughout human history who've said, I know best, you must believe me, and if you don't, you're wrong. We're in a period now where that nonsense needs to come to an end. It's information. Make of it what you will. But it's making the information speak and not preconceived idea and preconceived belief. As Gandhi said, even if you are in a minority of one, the truth is still the truth. And throughout history, or what we call history, there has been this constant theme of the few, sometimes even the one, who's changed the collective view of what is real, when the vast majority have just dismissed it initially. Why? Because it is so different to the programmed belief systems that they've been indoctrinated with. It's a few centuries ago that the prevailing wisdom, the scientific cutting edge, was that the earth was flat, and if you went too far, you'd fall off the bloody edge. We now look back at that, and we think, how stupid, how primitive, how could they have believed that? We're now in a period increasingly unfolding, and not too far into what we call the future, where we're going to look back at this period of the modern cutting edge of evolution world, and we're going to go, oh my God, how could anyone believe that? In the same way, and to the same extent, if not more, as the earth is not flat. Thank you. So, we are going to realize that this crazy, insane, stupid, juvenile world that we call it is not the cutting edge of human evolution. It's a playground for idiots. It's a world in which the faster you destroy the planet you're living on, the more economically successful you are perceived to be. Oh, economic growth's gone up. Great. What is economic growth? Economic growth is the amount of money that changes hands for goods and services in any year. Therefore, when there is a massive disaster, like an oil disaster that causes massive, massive amounts of destruction, that is counted as good in terms of economic growth because of all the money that changes hands trying to clear up the mess. Insane. But then the world is. But we don't see it. Tick-tock, tick-tock, you are feeling sleepy. And we are awash with hypnotists under various guises who can persuade people that war is peace, that freedom is slavery, and that ignorance is strength. God doesn't want us to know that! Okay. Change the subject. Won't talk about it again. Well, maybe I want to know that. Or maybe I am God, as it's perceived. Maybe I am an expression of the infinite. And as such, God does want to know the answer to that question. This guy, Michael Elner, said this. Just look at us.
Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroy information, and religions destroy spirituality. And the sad thing is, it's bloody true. All those things happen. Why? As this man, H.L. Mencken, said, the men the American people admire most extravagantly are the greatest liars. The men they detest most violently are those who try to tell them the truth. Why? Because people hold on to belief systems till their knuckles turn white instead of letting the information and the experience speak. It's shut out. So we live in a topsy-turvy world where everything is upside down. And we live in a world that's totally confusing to most people because we are denied the coordinates through which we can make clarity and sense of this apparent chaotic complexity. And over the next couple of days, I'm going to be working my way through a list of coordinates which can give us a fix on how this fits together and how it is not as chaotic and bewildering as it appears to be. Seems to be this ball of confusion. What's this? What's that? Why are they doing that? What's happening now? That's crazy. Why are they doing that? Bureaucratic incompetence. Oh my God. But when you get the coordinates, suddenly, that's why they do that. Because that's the outcome they get from that. And that's the outcome they want. And so suppress the coordinates. And you suppress understanding of how the pieces fit. And that's the key. You know, you can see the world as parts, different people, different situations, different events. And they can be interesting in themselves. Hey, what about this credit crunch? What's going on? How's that? What's going on? Oh, it's a subprime crash. Oh, all this stuff. And in and of themselves, the dots can be interesting. But it's like, I don't understand why that's that. Why is that happening? Because the dots have to be connected. And the coordinates give us those tools, that understanding. And when we connect the dots, suddenly the complexity starts to morph into clarity, increasing clarity, as this is put in our face now. So over the last 20 years, I've been on a journey which has taken me through endless subjects, ancient and modern, that don't, on the face of it, appear to have any connection to each other. But once you understand the game, they are fundamentally connected. And as the dots connect, there appears an elephant in the living room, which we haven't seen, because people are running around the living room saying, hey, here's the elephant. Look over there! Look! Hey! Look! Hey! Hey! Look over there! It's not an elephant. It's not an elephant. It's a cat. It's a cat. Unless you, you remember about cats with big noses? Yeah, big ears. Yeah, the cat's there. Oh, it's a cat. Hey, honey, it's a cat. It's an elephant. And this is what it is. It's the now blatant, obvious truth that there are two agendas moving side by side. Well, one agenda, one cover for the agenda. Behind the scenes, there is an agenda going way, way, way back in what we call history. I keep saying what we call history, by the way, because I've got a few thoughts about that. I've not really formed them yet, but I've got a few forming in my head. We might go there sometime. And it's been continually centralizing power to bring about what it is now getting closer and closer to, which is a centralized global fascist dictatorship along the lines that Orwell talked about in 1984. And of course, it's getting more blatant now because the faster you centralize, the more power you have at the center to centralize even quicker. And that's why it's moving faster and faster. And has been moving faster and faster if you watch it through the centuries. It's just now getting really into speed. And the movie, what we see on CNN and all this stuff, is there to obscure the connections of events that play out in the world so that people don't connect the dots and see, actually, it's coordinated in a certain direction. And the movie is also providing the excuse for bringing the agenda into society, i.e., oh, you'll lose your house and you lose your savings and you lose everything. Honest, be afraid, because we want to put $700 billion into the banks of your debt. Honestly, please. And of course, it's not this at all. But the movie obscures the agenda, but increasingly less so. But here we get into the theme of this first part of this marathon. The greatest form of human control is not even financial control, it's not even political control. It's manipulating us into a false identity of who we are. Selling us the myth, the lie, that we are what we see in the mirror in the morning. That is us. We are Charlie Jones. We are Ethel Smith. That's who we are. I've got no power. I'm just Ethel Smith. Charlie Jones, what can I do? I'm just Joe Public. Better look up. And it's this selling of the false identity, putting us into a fake reality that allows the few to control the many. We are consciousness. Infinite consciousness connected to all other consciousness. We are not some droplet stuck in a body called Charlie Jones. We are the ocean. We are all unique expressions of that ocean, which is an ocean of all possibility, an ocean of connection, an ocean of unity, an ocean of oneness. And the fake identities pull that apart to create the fault lines through which we can be divided and ruled across the mass of society. And this is what infinite consciousness in this reality has become, entrapped in what I call the bubble, the eggshell, operating on a fraction of that ocean, therefore perceiving a fraction of what there is to understand, what there is to be, what there is to feel and experience. Because only by putting us in these bubbles, these fake realities, oh, Mom, I've all got no power. That's the only way the few can control the many. And they do. What do you think about it? For most people, you're born, and then you grow up, and very soon now, you're under stress when you're a kid. Oh, yeah, all exams, what are you going to do for a job? What are you going to do? Have you got the trainers? Because they're laughing at you. What trainers? Oh, have you got the latest at Nike? Oh, what are you going to do? And so we go on. Through childhood, we're programmed by all the different things. We're programmed by school. Believe this. We're programmed by college. Believe this. Programmed by parents who were programmed by the same system. Hey, you must believe this. Hey, you're wrong. You can't do that. Oh, I'm ashamed. And then we move into adulthood, where we have to get a job. And for the vast majority of people around the world, it's a job they don't really want. But they've got to get it because the system demands that they have a job and serve the system to get the money to survive. And that's what life's become. Survival. Oh, God, am I going to make the check at the end of the month? What about my mortgage? Am I going to lose my house? Oh, my God. I better keep the boss happy. I better not say what I really think because I've got to keep a job and all this stuff. And this goes on and goes on. And eventually, you start to get older and you start to feel that. This period we call death. And then so many people are worried. Have I been a good boy? Will I go to heaven or will I go to hell? What will God do? What will the demons do? Or blah, 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 blah. And then, at some point, you leave this reality. And what I just described is what's known to human beings, vast numbers of them, as life. I think we can do better. And I just get the feeling in my water, there's more to know. So, we go through life in this bewilderment because we haven't got the coordinates. And crazy things start to happen. Doctors destroy health. Oh no, why do doctors destroy health? Doctors destroy health because the medical system is not there to keep people healthy. It is there as a human debris processing unit to increase the profits of transnational corporations who couldn't give a shite about human health. It's about money. And the more ill health you have, the more you have to react to it, so the more money you make. A healthy population is bad news for transnational pharmaceutical cartels. Big Pharma. Have you noticed the latest scam, by the way? Every time I turn my telly on at the moment, it's erectile dysfunction. Have you seen all these fucking adverts? They invented it. I don't know. I've never heard of it. I mean, I wouldn't. But I was watching an American advert for this stuff, erectile dysfunction, tablets or whatever. And you know, I love it when we work, because we don't have to do this in Britain. Like, give all the side effects when we're doing adverts, like for medicines and stuff. But in America, you do it. It's hilarious, isn't it? Because the bloody adverts are about that long, and the bloody side effects are about that long. And by the way, they're not side effects. They're effects. Not side effects. That's all crap. Side effects. They're just side effects. Don't worry about them. No, they're effects, mate. And look how long those effects are compared with the buggers you're telling us are going to do us any good. And the breathless way that they reel off these side effects. And I'm watching this erectile dysfunction advert, true story. And he reels off all these things. You should not take it if you have this problem. And he finishes with this. If you have an erection for more than 4 hours, consult your doctor immediately. And I'm thinking, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? World's man. Excuse me, doctor. I've got a problem. What do you want me to do? Bloody mad. You know, if I had an erection for 4 hours, I wouldn't consult my doctor. I'd say, thank you, bloody God. That's what I'd do. It's 3 hours, 55 minutes longer than my record, I'll tell you. I'm not kidding. Crazy. The world's mad. All you got to do is kind of love it in a way. It's, you know, it's like a sitcom. On Mars, they say, now, the sitcom, Planet Earth, here we go. Run titles. Oh, it's ever so funny. Oh, what they do on Planet Earth, they've got to be making it up. They never do that. We do. Lawyers destroy justice. Why? Because if you're going to control people, you have to control the laws under which they are governed and controlled, and therefore you have to make them work for you and work against the people. So lawyers destroy justice, not least by the outrageous, obscene amounts of money they charge for next to solid nothing most of the time. Oh, you can have justice as long as you've got a spare $100,000. Yeah, we'll give you justice. Oh, you're skint. Oh, sorry. Justice don't go that far. And then there's this. Universities destroy knowledge. Of course they do. If you are the few and you want to control the many, the last thing you want is a sharp, informed population. You want people in ignorance. You want people who've been sold diversionary belief systems that are taking them down the cul-de-sacs of life. And then you can control them. It's about programming. It's programming children with a worldview that they will bring out of the system as adults and take with them for the rest of their lives. And all over the world, it's the same. Oh, we want education in Africa. Yeah, great, bloody dear. But let's have it here first before we start giving African kids the same bloody programming that we've been giving our kids all these years. Programming. Turning out clones of the system. Programmed to think the way the system wants. Governments destroy freedom. Of course they do. This is the great thing that so many people, not in this room, but in the world as a whole, they need us to make this leap. Governments are not there to serve the people. They are there to control the people. That's the role of government. It shouldn't be, but that's the way it is. And if we keep thinking, well, shall we vote for Obama or McCain to change the country? Say nothing else, really. The men in dark suits, politicians who are here today, gone tomorrow, politicians, front men for a force behind the scenes that is always there, no matter what the face is in the dark suit. People. Actually, I'm probably being optimistic with this. But people from certain bloodlines, which I'll get into tomorrow, who are manipulated into the positions of power to serve this agenda of global control. This is Bush's bloodline, by the way. There we go. You see, it's because the here today, gone tomorrow politicians are just front men for a force that is always there, no matter what party's in power around the world, that you can have a complete idiot as President of the United States. That should be a terrible thing, but if you're trying to change things in the image that you want, but it's not. Because all he's doing is signing his name, with help, at the bottom of legislation. The legislation is written, decided, and manipulated into place by other people who are still there when he's gone and Obama or whoever comes in. We can have people with this earpiece wire at press conferences telling him what to say. And still, so many people think he's President of the United States. I love this one. Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. Now, this can only happen in a system that is designed that way. And now we've got the next lot. Now we've got the next lot, and they are... The faces change, the rhetoric changes, though only slightly increasingly, but what plays out is the same centralization of power in all areas of our lives. Not one of these candidates in that excuse-ready debate or any other statement has talked about the fact that globalization is not a good thing. Globalization must stop. Globalization is centralizing power in the world at a scale which is taking away global freedom. No, of course not. Nothing changes. So the politicians give us free speech zones now. You can have free speech as long as no one can hear you. And putting our right, our basic human right to freedom of expression, increasingly in a cage so that we cannot even express our own thoughts and our own opinions. Major media destroy information, of course they do. Because, again, an informed population that knows what's going on in the world is going to react in a different way to one who is sold the movie. And that's the role of the major mainstream media. Selling the movie to hide the agenda behind it. And 90-odd% of journalists in the world have no idea that that's what they're doing, through what we call compartmentalization of awareness of the game. Journalists, you know. There was an editor apparently called Mainstream Journalists Intellectual Prostitutes. I tell you what, I don't know, I disagree with the intellectual bit, do you? I think I do. Selling their soul, a lot of them. Knowing things that they're writing are not true, but it's good for the career if they write them. And then we go, religions destroy spirituality, of course. Because religions are there to sell rigid belief systems and hold people in that prison of perception that prevents us from awakening to the greater self and therefore moving our point of observation of this reality out of here to a much greater sense of possibility and see how things connect together. It's a crazy world. A mad world. And why? Because it's meant to be. And it's underpinned, this whole thing, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, by what a friend of mine calls repeaters. You know what passes for knowledge in the world? And everybody knows that, mate. Well, I don't know that. So that's one lesson, everyone. We've made a start. Repeat, 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 repeat. And the more you repeat it, the more it becomes accepted fact. The earth is flat, the earth is flat, the earth is flat. Everyone knows that, mate. The earth is flat. The earth's flat, you know. This is how it happens. Repeaters. No questioning. As a famous British writer, Oscar Wilde, said, most people are other people. Their thoughts are someone else's opinions. Their lives are mimicry. Their passions are quotation. And so often, the quotations come out of government and corporations and corporate media. Mark Twain said, in religion and politics, people's beliefs and convictions are in almost every case gotten at second hand and without examination from authorities who have not themselves examined the questions at issue, but have taken them at second hand from other non-examiners whose opinions about them were not worth a brass farthing. That's how we write history. That's how everybody knows that, mate. It's a mind game. It's a game designed to program people with a fake reality and a fake identity so that we'll play the little men and women who trot like sheep behind the few in authority, who understand really behind the scenes how this whole game plays out and what reality is. And to keep us constantly like that instead of like that, keep them busy, busy, busy back on the farm with the other animals, as one mind control document said. Keep them so focused on survival and reacting to different things they are frightened of or fearful of or worried about, and they'll be there while you're doing that, and they'll never see it until now. And it starts with the kids. Got to pass your exams, got to pass your exams. Oh my God, how? It's your finals, how did you do? Oh my God, oh, I'm going to wait for the letter, I'm going to wait for the letter. Oh my God, how have I done? 15 years of freaking age! What are we doing? Taking children's childhood away. Chasing degrees and exam passes, which are nothing more than telling the system what it's told you to believe, most of it. We need to give our kids a childhood. Pressure from the start. Teacher, how do you spell happy? Oh, don't know. Never been here. I've never had any reason to it. For any reason to spell it. Crazy world we live in, where we create more and more rubbish in the name of advancing society, where we create high technology, at least up to a point. And what we do with that knowledge of technology, and which can do so much good in the world, free energy, food growing land in deserts, all this technology that is there and the knowledge is there, what do? We kill people with it. We kill people with it, and people stand around and let it happen. Do you know, we're ever so evolved because we've now got technology that can kill more people than ever before. Hey, round of applause for everybody. Hey, the modern world's a wonderful place. And this is what is collateral damage. We had children in Israel signing their names on bombs, which then go to other children in the Lebanon. Message received. And all the time, tick, 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 you are feeling sleepy. Hey, quick, hey, is a game show, honey, and she's going for the car. Quick, honey, quick, honey. Shut up, watch this. All these diversions we put through. All this is going on. All around us. People starving in a world of plenty where more is thrown away than other people will ever have to eat. I've seen these places. It's absolutely unbelievable in this civilized world. But never mind that. Go to sleep. Watch this. Hey, the game's on, honey, quick. Watch this, shut up. There's nothing wrong with watching sport. I used to be a footballer. I love football. But when it becomes your focus and everything else, all peripheral vision of what's going on in the world is shut out, then we become fodder. Babes in arms, lambs to the slaughter, while the few manipulate. This goes on in our name, called fighting for peace. But you don't want to see that, of course. No, no, sleepy, sleepy, sleepy. Hey, watch this, shut up. Hey, honey, Paris Hilton's half naked in the back of the limo, quick. Oh. And this is how the movie keeps our eyes off the ball of the secret agenda. These are babies. Depleted uranium in Iraq from American and British weapons. But you don't want to see that. Hey, honey, quick, watch this, shut up. Hey, honey, quick, is Jerry Springer show. The man's just about to punch his girlfriend. Quick, honey. We wonder, some people still wonder how a few control the many. You know the sad thing? It's a piece of cake. We have a slight problem, it seems, in the financial markets. Within a system where banks lend you money that doesn't exist and charge you interest on it. And when you don't pay back the principal and the interest because you've lost your job and you can't anymore, then they take your wealth that does exist, your car, your land, your business, your home, in return for giving you figures on a screen that are just worthless unless we think they have some value. When money goes around the world and it's a fake and, you know, Benjamin Franklin's got a mustache or something, that goes on paying for things constantly until someone holds it up to the light and says, this is a fake. From that moment on, it stops buying things, but for possibly years it's been buying things. That's our money system. It's a fake, and when people go, hold on a second, it's based on nothing. You think the crash is big now, well, crikey, when that realization comes. And yet money's in the very DNA of society that controls us and limits our choice. But we don't want to know how the money system works. I've talked to economists, they don't want to know that. You don't want to know how the money system works. Sleepy. Don't ask where money comes from. Sleepy. Derivatives and bank holding companies. Merrill Lynch. Sleepy. Watch this. Shut up. The new religion, the religion of celebrity. Again, hey, my neck's a bit stiff, I've got to lift it. Okay, there's a celebrity. Oh, here we go, I'm happy now. I've got no problem with people being great at things and great actors, but what are we doing putting them there as if they're above us? We are infinite consciousness. The celebrity is another diversion. Another diversion, creating new gods to worship, new things to aspire to. That's success, loads of money, fame, and all the rest of it. Good luck. But it ain't the only thing in life, and it ain't the only form of success, but you don't want to hear that. We don't want you to hear that. We want you to pursue the symbols of success that we give you, because then you'll serve the system in pursuit of them. Sleepy. Oh, and if you want to know what's going on in the world, then our corporate media will tell you. They'll tell you everything the system wants you to believe is happening in the world. Our multiple channels will give you that now. Turn on any channel and you'll get our view of what's happening. And overall, be afraid. Be afraid. I'm going to give you lots of things today on the news to be afraid of. And you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to give you some more. Be afraid. Ooh. Survive. Survive. We must survive. Got to survive. Got to survive financially. Got to survive. Oh, doctor, please. Please, make me survive. Oh, my God, give me another pill, please. Anything. Oh, yeah. Give the bank $700 billion of my debt. It doesn't matter. We've got to survive. We've got to survive. We're infinite consciousness, and we have to survive illusion. Mad world. Why? Because we have lost the key coordinates to understand ourselves and the world, and thus we are putty in the hands of those that shape society in the image that they want. Why is everything upside down? Because of a multi-level conspiracy over a long, long period of what we call time, building up, multi-levels, and I'll get through all these different levels as we go through the next couple of days, designed to enslave humanity on multiple levels. So, coordinates. The two big coordinates I'm going to focus on today are about who we are, and where we are. The signposts that can give us a fix on the chaos to allow us to see the clarity. And as the dots connect, the image of what's going on becomes clear. It's a duck. You're a journalist, aren't you? How did I know that? My intuition is incredible. So, coordinate number one. Who are we? It's funny because if you don't ask the big questions, you can't get the big answers. And we don't seem to ask the big questions in general. Who are we? Where are we? What is reality? Where are we? What's all this about? Oh, no, I live in the real world, mate. I've got to make my money at the end of the month. All that stuff. We don't ask the big questions. What's the latest score? That's a question we ask a lot. And all the rest of it, but not the big questions. And yet, how on earth can we be free? I mean truly free, without understanding who we are and where we are? We might equate freedom. Okay, to change that law, I can have the opinion now. We've got our freedom back. Oh, I'm free to vote for a different mask on the same face every 4 years. Ain't that great? We're free, honey. But how can you be truly, truly free without these basic understandings? Who are we? Where are we? What's going on? Why are we here? What's happening? We are consciousness. Infinite consciousness connected to all other consciousness. If we expand and open ourselves to that level of reality, and we've been put in these bubbles, these eggshells, to keep us in control and to keep us, crucially, in bewilderment of who we really are. Only when we know who we are can we know freedom. How can we otherwise? So, what is reality? It's funny when you see how they suppress knowledge and suppress information about 9/11 and bombings and wars and how they're engineered. You know, that's one level of suppression of knowledge. But the biggest suppression of all is the suppression of this. As Joseph Goebbels said, the Nazi propaganda minister, it thus becomes vitally important to this, for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus by extension the truth becomes the greatest enemy of the state. Now that is as true and truer of the information I'm talking about now than ever it is of these five sense suppressions that we know more about. Because the biggest lie, the greatest cover-up of all, beyond all other cover-ups, is it's all an illusion. It's all an illusion. There was another picture there. I haven't got any glasses, but I think that's the bad one. No. I'm going to go that way. 1, 2. Well, I like this. Mine doesn't go back. It's all an illusion. And when you are a few, and you understand, for various reasons, not least that this knowledge is passed across the generations through the highest, highest levels of the secret society network. And the people, through things like inquisitions and stuff, have had that knowledge sucked out of circulation to a very, very vast extent. If you know what reality is and how we interact with it, how we influence it, how it influences us, and the people do not know that, they think this is a solid world and what they see is what they get, then you don't really need much else for the few to control the many. It's all an illusion. Tick, 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 tick. You are feeling sleepy. I think we can do better. Free your mind.
And I guess now would be the appropriate time for us to say, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Okay, buddy.
All right, bro. Talk to you
soon.
Talk to you later. All right, bye.
Bye.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.abovetopsecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat.